If you think about it much, the Christian tradition of remembering and honoring and celebrating the death of Jesus seems odd, doesn't it? Some would say sadistic. Like all over the world, Christians get together and go, Jesus died. If you think about it, that's kind of... But we can honor the death of Jesus and celebrate the death of Jesus because of the resurrection of Jesus. If he had remained dead, like all the other founders of every religion, of every cult, of every false teaching, all that, they're all dead. But Jesus is alive. So around your tables for a few minutes. Next slide. What part of the death of Jesus intrigues you in a good way? What bothers you? What part bothers you? What do you wonder about? Take some time. What part of the death of Jesus intrigues you? What part bothers you? What do you wonder about? Go for it. So we're walking towards Easter. We're taking a number of weeks to walk towards Easter. I encourage you, on each of your tables is a Bible reading guide. If you haven't picked one up, there's extras on the table. Pick up from this week and prepare yourself as you're walking through to Easter. And then also there's a couple of books here written by Max Lucado about, you know, one of them is about the, you know, the final week of Jesus, or He Chose the Nails, or 6 Hours One Friday. Now, somebody borrowed one of those books last week. I don't know who you are. You're allowed to borrow it because they're my books. But I just like to know who it was that don't expose yourself. She just confessed. I just need to know. And that, you know, I just need to know. So, but I encourage you to order these books or whatever, or beg or borrow. But I just want to help us as a church to move towards Easter, to actually think it through. So, do you know what's really gross? Green eggs and ham. Yeah, that's a previous message. Do you know what's really gross? Spit. It is. You ever notice how professional athletes spit? You know, the camera zooms on the hockey bench, and bing, onto the ice. Sure, somebody's going to come along the ice with their face and just kind of, like, it's just gross. Or baseball. Oh, yeah, especially the pitcher. He's got some chewing tobacco or something going on there, and you got to spit with that stuff. Well, I when I was in grade 6 or 7, what school was that? No, it would have been grade 6 or 7. I had a couple of friends that were into chewing tobacco, and I tried some. Yeah, it's gross. You stick it right in here, and then you have to spit. You just have to. And I do they spit on the baseball too? No? They're not allowed? Oh, that would make sense, a rule. But I think probably in olden days they did. That's why they made the rule. Spitball, there you go. That's gross. And then somebody out there is going to catch it and then touch it with their hand and throw it to somebody else who's going to catch it, who's also going to touch it with their hand. Is that not gross? Except I bet you every one of us spits whenever you swallow a mosquito or it enters your mouth. Have you? I've done it. Anyone else with me? Yeah. Okay. You don't want to. You know what the. You know how to. How to discover a happy biker? What's the sign of a happy motorcyclist? What's the sign of a happy motorcyclist? What is that? Bugs on his teeth. Right? You haven't had any in your, you know. Isn't it like, okay. If I was to hork in front of you, or hawk is the other word, you would be totally grossed out. Hawk means to clear the throat noisily, bringing up the phlegm up from the throat. That's what hork or hawk means. Spit means to forcefully expel or eject saliva or phlegm or sputum. Sputum. This is dictionary. This is dictionary definitions here. From the mouth. Spit is a clear liquid secreted into the mouth by the salivary glands and mucous glands of the mouth, moistens the mouth, and starts the digestion of starches. Anybody grossed out yet? Anybody ready to walk out? Don't do that. Oh, sorry. Okay. Just hang with me. A couple more minutes. A gob is a lump or clot of a slimy or viscous substance. Now, I'm intentionally trying to be gross here. Thank you. Yeah. I'm doing a pretty good job here, obviously. But also, the verb to spit also means to utter with anger or contempt, like spewing. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 16. Now in verse 15, Pilate released Barabbas and he ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. So the Roman soldiers would have done that, and then the soldiers took him. Verse 16. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe. Now, you need to understand this. Later on, it says they took off his robe. Remember the timing. He'd just been flogged. 39 times would have been the legal limit if they had kept to 39. On his back. They took off his robe before that, and they put on a purple robe. They dress him in a purple robe, and they wove together thorn branches into a crown and put it onto his head. Then they saluted him and taunted him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him on the head with a reed stick. Now, pause right here. History says that back then there wasn't necessarily a salute like we have now. It probably only came out in the 1800s. But back then it was words of honor. So if there was a king, there would be their king, there would have been like a lot of bowing and a lot of words. Some of it would be brown nosing and, you know, building the person up. But there's honor, there's words, there's bowing. There's all kinds of things to esteem this king. But they were doing this as complete mockery. Because the Romans knew what Jesus was, what he claimed to be, and what others accused him of being, King of the Jews. A great Savior, a great God, because he was very open with who he was and what he was here to do. And they saluted him and taunted him, "Hail," in all mockery. In all mockery. To call out, to address with expressions of goodwill, respect, to greet, to bow down, and others gesture to express respect or praise, to hail, to commend. Synonyms of the word honor and salute would be to praise, to laud, to extol, to cheer, and applaud. Everything that we do in worship, we lift up Jesus. That's what we do. That's worship. But the Romans, the military, the regiment, who had no disregard for life, they mocked Jesus. Verse 19, and they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him. Now I want us to grab that word again. I want us to understand the spit. People passing by, it goes on, people passing by, the leading priests, the teachers of the religious laws, the elders, they hurled insults. Verse 24, then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided their clothes and threw dice and decided who would get each piece. I forgot, I should back up here. After he was done, they were done with the mockery. They then took off that purple robe. How long would that robe have been on him? Enough to then cause him to bleed all over again when they took off the robe. And then they put on his regular clothes. And then they led him to the cross. Now, I'm saying this because we often just read the scriptures and go, Jesus died for me. As we're talking with a couple of guys over there, it's to realize what he actually did, what he actually endured. We can't just read it over. We need to realize that the whole part, it wasn't just the cross. It was everything leading up to it. That's what he endured. Verse 24, then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes up because they took his clothes off again. And threw the dice to decide who would get the piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announcing the charge against him, it read, "The King of the Jews." And two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on the left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. See, the crosses would have been low enough that anybody walking by would have been able to look him in the eyes. They would have almost been able to touch him, but they wouldn't have. But that's how close it was. They mocked. Look at you now. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. They missed it, that he's actually talking about his temple. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross. And the leading priests and teachers of the religious law also mocked Jesus. The religious people, the God-fearing people, they mocked just as much, if not worse. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see him, and then we'll believe him. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. I'm going to talk about them next week. Let's talk about mockery. Mockery refers to the act of ridiculing, deriding, or making fun of someone or something, often with the intent to belittle or to scorn. It is often an expression of unbelief and a refusal to submit to divine authority. Those religious leaders weren't just abusing by words. They were saying to Jesus, and they said, over our dead bodies, will we ever submit to you? There is Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for them to save their sins. And they said, over our dead bodies, they said, curse be on us, curse be on our children. Over our dead body, will we ever submit to you? Contempt refers to a deep-seated disdain or scorn or act of disrespect towards God, his laws, or to other people. We can have contempt for other people. It's a heart-level attitude rooted in pride that treats what God considers valuable as worthless. What did God say about Jesus at the beginning of his ministry? Do you remember what he said? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. They're turning around in disrespect and mockery and contempt. No, he isn't. He's claiming to be God. No, he is not. Shame is the internal, painful emotion of disgrace and worthiness. Now, I don't think Jesus would have felt personal shame because he knew what he was doing. It was all planned. He knew what was going on. And I'll come to it yet, but he took on our shame. Reproach is the external expression of blame, censure, or disapproval. Jesus had all of that. That was all thrust upon him. Max Lucado noted this point about the spit that was hurled at him. Think of what was behind it and why the soldiers spit. I'm sure the people and religious leaders would have physically done it as well. They would have, as they walked past the cross, they would have spit on the ground. You've seen that's common for people to spit in disrespect. Hasn't changed. Remember, those who were crucified, and I talked about it last week, those who were crucified were the lowest of low. They were rabble. They were despised. So spitting and mocking and taking it to an entirely lower level of disrespect. There are no words for this kind of disrespect, hatred, despising. There's no words, only spit, horks, hawks, and gobs. That is as low as humanly anybody can go. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Let it remind us again. Second part of verse 2. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. See, all of that was to shame a person. Have you ever heard anyone say, and I hope we never say this, we should never, ever, never, ever say to somebody, shame on you. But that's what they were saying to Jesus all the way through. Shame on you. Because of the joy awaiting, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. All that hostility. It wasn't just the physical. It was everything. And then you won't become weary and give up. Jesus took all of the hostility to the cross. Yes, he took our sins, and I'll talk about that on Good Friday. But as I shared last week, he took the worst that humanity could throw on him, even the worst of spit, and he carried our hurts with him. And Max Lucado says in one of his books, he says, when he was spit upon by the Romans and others that may have had an opportunity to spit, he didn't wipe it off. He didn't clean it off his face. In many ways, he probably couldn't. But he took the spit to the cross. He wore the spit and the gobs and the horks and the hawks, and he took it to the cross. He took the worst that humanity could throw at him, even the worst of spit. He carried our deep hurts with him and on his face. When have you and I been spit upon? What is that word, that paragraph of disrespect, that put down, that belittling? Have you and I heard or experienced? Maybe you've been bullied. And maybe it's some from years ago, maybe it's recently, maybe it's now. Maybe you've been bullied. And Jesus understands. He's with you. When, not if, have we spit on someone else? When, not if, have we put down another person? When, not if, have we belittled another person? When, not if, have we actually disregarded, disrespected, deeply with intention, hurt someone else? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will always hurt me. Jesus, it's interesting, he stands on both sides of the situation. He stands on one side as we stand here and we took on the spit, we took on the put down of a friend, an enemy, a family member, an employer, a boss, anybody who may have spit upon us, and he stands with us on this side. But he also stands with a person that actually does the spitting and the put down and the hurtful words and the belittling and the disrespecting, and say, I will forgive you if you acknowledge what you did. I will wash off the spit because I love you and I understand and I'm with you. I will forgive and I will change and I will help you to be better, to be different, to be honorable. I will help both of you. That's what he did on the cross. I will help both sides of the situation. So, Ryan, would you come up? We're going to be practical here. I can't just say, that was a great message, go home and think about it. No. Most, if not all of us, have either been spit upon and spit upon somebody else. And we need to deal with that this morning. So I've asked Ryan to just play some music behind, because a little easier to think and pray silently with, I think, a little bit of music behind. So if you, maybe you want to take a piece of paper, maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe you just want to stare at the table or stare at the ceiling, or think about this. When did you spit upon another person? When did you say something that really hurt someone else? When did we disrespect somebody else? Can you remember that conversation? Can you remember that word? That memory? Maybe it's fuzzy, but we know we did it. Think about that for a moment. And then quietly in your heart, maybe a whisper, just quietly repeat after me. Oh Lord Jesus, I remember that conversation, that word. I spit upon that person, and I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? That person is made in your image, God. And I totally disrespected that person. Forgive me and cleanse me of this sin. And then, Jesus, I ask that you would take your hand. Would you remove those words from this person's heart? Would you wipe it off their face? Would you heal them from the spit that I thrust upon them? think for a moment, when did someone spit upon you? It's probably right there in your mind, in your heart, that conversation, that word, the look on that person's face, that memory. And most of all, that deep feeling, that just feels so ugly inside. Nothing worse than spit. Quietly, even a whisper, just repeat after me. Oh, Jesus, this feels so ugly. This so hurts me. Oh, Jesus, I give it to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you understand. You hurt right along with me. And I give you that spit. I give you those words. I give you the pain. I give you the memory. Jesus, with your hand, wipe my face clean. Jesus, with your hand, reach into my heart and remove that pain, that hurt, from me. Take it from me. Oh, Jesus, you love me so much. And in its place, I receive your love into my heart. Heal the hurt as only you can. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. You love us so much, and you took everything with you to the cross for us. And we thank you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.